Well, climate change is making some natural disasters more frequent and more intense, promoting new debates about where we build houses and how to make them more resilient. Well, it's a question that has consumed Kate Cotter over the past decade, ever since her friends' homes were destroyed in the devastating 2009 Victorian bushfires. Kate is now the founder and CEO of what's known as the Resilient Building Council. And Kate is my guest today on Changing Australia. Kate Cotter, a very warm welcome to you.
Thanks so much.
What got this journey going for you, looking at how to make homes and buildings truly resilient when natural disaster strikes?
It was really personal experience. My community got heavily impacted by the 2009 bushfires. So I had friends, you know, that lost homes and family members and businesses, and that recovery was such a long process, but it was a very confusing time for people, and they had really just a very simple question, which was, you know, how can we avoid this level of disaster in the future? And how do we just make our homes and businesses and communities safer? So it sounds like such a simple premise, but the answers were complicated, and there wasn't really clarity. So, yeah, just, I guess, helping my own community. Also, my parents were trying to build a resilient home, and everyone just needed help and some information that would give them a clear pathway to reducing their risk in the future.
And Kate, when you're talking about a resilient home in the context of bushfire, resilient in what way? What do you mean?
Yeah, so resilience for us means a really robust building that's going to last a long time no matter what the extreme weather or disaster impacts might be, and that it's quickly recoverable so that we can get people back into functioning homes and businesses and community buildings, hospitals and other important buildings really quickly. And it's the time to get back to being able to function again that has really had the biggest impact on people that get exposed to these types of disasters. So, yeah, it's about protecting life and health, but also your biggest asset often is your home. And for a lot of people now, I think it's about 1.5 million Australians can't afford insurance. It's got so expensive. So a lot of people are carrying that risk themselves. So if that building gets lost or damaged, there's no insurance to protect them from financial ruin. So I guess there's a lot of health and safety and sustainability issues there, but also some very acute financial issues that are really crippling people, whether that's exposure to bushfires, floods, cyclones, storms and all sorts of risks.
Mm-hmm. You ended up pulling together a pool of different experts to look at this issue. How did you bring those minds together with a common purpose, Kate?
Yeah, it's been, I guess, our major role is just coordination, and, you know, we're trying to create a resilience revolution here where we've got to change the status quo really quickly. So although it's taken 10 years, I guess in the scheme of things that is relatively fast to be able to get some of the changes through that we've been able to do. But it really has been a coordination job. So bringing engineers, research scientists, architects, builders, communities, governments, insurers, banks, investors together to really focus on, you know, a foundational issue to resilience. Resilience has got lots of components, of course, but we think if we can just start with the buildings, because that's the thing that protects us from disaster, if we get that foundation to community resilience really strong and working, then we can build out, you know, lots of other aspects to resilience, including our infrastructure and social systems. A tough coordination job, but I think what's made it compelling for all the various stakeholders involved is that no one loses out of resilience. So in some way, we've found a way that everyone wins, whether that's, you know, protecting your home is obviously a win, accessing insurance is a win, but for banks and insurers, that's a win for them too. You know, banks have mortgages on our homes, so reducing risk to their assets is a win for them. For insurers, reducing the cost of claims, that's a win. And obviously for governments, reducing, you know, those growing recovery costs is a big win. So I think finding a way that everybody wins and focusing them on a single mechanism, which is what we've done through resilience ratings, makes that coordination a lot easier.
So what's the really practical stuff here, the nuts and bolts? What are some of the standouts that you've learnt about where we build our homes, how we build them, and the kind of materials that we use? What's some really good go-to information there?
Yeah, I guess there's some common approaches across all of the hazards. So what we find when we're doing assessments with people, that a lot of vulnerabilities are consistent and easily addressed. So I think, you know, giving people hope and those practical pathways to improve their resilience and knowing, you know, through the ratings by how much that resilience is improved is important. And so some of the things that are very common are sealing up buildings so that we're not letting in embers or rain or wind. So that's simple things like sealing around your doors and, you know, with weather strips. That also helps with energy efficiency and heatwave resilience. Our roofs are quite vulnerable, so we find almost every home that we inspect, there are gaps or loose roofing materials, the flashings around your air conditioners and things like that. And then also the management of the area around homes. So in floods and bushfires and cyclones, we don't want materials stored around the home that can become flying debris or that can ignite in a bushfire. So some of that costs absolutely no money. It's about, you know, where we store things and how we maintain the area around our home. So plenty of really practical things. And I guess in terms of materials, we're looking for things that are fire resistant, robust and strong, and also water resilient. So we're looking for materials that will stand the test of time. And that's not just about resilience, but it's also about the longevity of our buildings, that we want them fit for purpose, we want them to last a long time. And that's a bit of a shift away from some of the building practices we've seen over many decades, where, you know, lots of shortcuts taken and I guess what we'd consider a bit like fast fashion. There's been, you know, some pretty flimsy and, you know, not fit for purpose buildings built, and a lot of people are really struggling with, you know, leaky buildings and mould, and, you know, we just need to lift our standards in general, not just for resilience.
Are you getting much engagement, much buy-in from the insurance industry? If there's House A and House B, one has a whole lot of resilience measures and the other doesn't, does that improve access for things like insurance?
It does. And, yeah, we've got a great partnership with the Insurance Council of Australia and also directly with the majority of Australia's insurers. I think what has been the missing part in the insurance system is a method to recognise when people do something positive to protect their homes. So at the moment, there isn't really a way for people to prove that they've, you know, done something that's going to reduce risk to them and also to their insurers. So that's been really great to see insurers pricing in the ratings, reducing premiums for people. And it just makes the whole system easier. People can just take their rating to their insurer or bank and get a discount, whereas before people had to try and negotiate that on a case-by-case basis. And insurers aren't engineers. They can't sort of decide whether what you've done will work. So that's been a big gap that we've been able to fill. But also I think just helping people understand, you know, how things are at the moment, what the pathway to a better rating is for them, and making that really practical and achievable.
Bushfires are one thing, and this is where things started for you. But what about things like earthquakes? You know, there was a devastating quake that many people remember in Newcastle in 1989. How ready are our buildings if there were another quake in the future?
Yeah, we've got earthquake standards for buildings over about 8 metres high. So a lot of our buildings built to earthquake standards. We're involved in a research project at the moment that's looking at what we do for smaller buildings as well. So that's likely something that we'll bring into the ratings to help people with just normal houses, you know, do some things to help strengthen them against earthquake.
Kate, it's been so interesting to talk to you this morning. Thank you very much for being my guest this morning.
Thanks, Sally.
Kate Cotter is the founder and CEO of the Resilient Building Council, my guest this morning on Changing Australia.